All right, Shabbos, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Ayin Vav 76. Yeshar Koach to everyone who came out last night after the fast. We left off, we made some good ground last night. We left off on Ayin He, Amud Beis 75b, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. Hello. Ve'idos shari'i atayachal la'azim ba'kalim. The Gemara wants to suggest that the machlokes between the Rabbana and the Tanakhama is regarding Eidos Shi'ata Yachal Azim, which means Eidos that is not subject to the laws of Hazama. That is, remember again, laws of Hazama are the laws of reciprocal punishment. There's an interesting question in general, and again, we'll focus on this a little bit over here, about the nature of an Eidos, the nature of an Eidos that is not subject to the laws of Hazama. So we'll see what that means. Sikigon, the asu sahadi va amru leganafta. So an example of that would be witnesses came along and say to Reuven, you stole. Va amru lehu, ganafti vitavakti umacharti, mihu lo bifneichem. So also we mentioned this case last night. So he says, yes, I stole, I slaughtered, I sold, but I did not do it in your presence. In other words, you guys who say that you claim that you did witness this, you're lying, you never witnessed this. So I'm admitting, Reuven is admitting that he did it, but he is disputing the fact that the witnesses who claim that they saw it actually were able to see it. Ella bifnei ploni uploni. Rather, I did steal, and then remember again, in this case, Reuven also admitted that he slaughtered and sold, but I did it in the presence of so-and-so. So meaning, he went ahead and he highlights that he, in fact, committed the crime, but he didn't do it in front of the witnesses who are in Beis Din now. Rather, he did it in front of another set of witnesses. And then remember, another set of witnesses come along. This is set of witnesses now number two. Come along and make the first set into Edim Zomamin. Va'asu ploni uploni va'asidu be deganav tavach umachar. And I will say what happens. Then a third set of witnesses come along and claim that Reuven stole, slaughtered, and sold. So this is pretty much the same case that we mentioned last night. Ubahakum eflagi. And this is what they are arguing about. Drabonan savri. The Rabbanan say that this is an Eidos, this is a testimonial unit, for which there is no ability to be mazim them. Now, both say, now why is there no ability? Why are they not subject to Hazama? Because remember, in this case, he's already admitted the fact that he stole. Because he's admitted the fact that he stole, therefore, again, he has already been mechayev himself in Keren. So because he's been mechayev himself in Keren, and he patered himself from the Kefel, technically speaking, you would not be able to impose upon the Edim what they wanted to impose ultimately upon the Ganav. You can't impose upon the Edim what they had set out to impose upon the Ganav, since he already freed himself, at least from partial liability, by admitting his theft. And therefore, according to the Rabbanan, this Edos is not good, because any Edos that is not subject to Azama, ultimately, again, is not a good Edos. The Sumchus Savar, Sumchus holds Eidos Shiatya Khalazima Havya Eidos. Sumchus, on the other hand, holds that no, even an Eidos that is not subject to Hazama, in other words, even an Eidos, I will say, for which you cannot administer direct reciprocal punishment to those Eidim, it is still considered to be a bona fide Eidos. The Gemara says, but one second, the Hakimalon. But we've already established, meaning this concept, we'll say, is a concept discussed elsewhere in Halacha, and we have already established that everyone agreed that if you have Eidim who are not subject to Hazama, that is not a proper Eidos. So we'll say, you know when we say that if Eidim are not subject to Hazama, that the Eidos is not good? That's when literally they're not shach to Hazama at all. For example, witnesses show up and they say, Reuven killed Shimon. But we don't remember what day it happened, and we don't remember what time, we don't remember what place. So such an Eidos like that, we say that's what's called an Eidos Shi'ata Yachol Lahazimo. So remember, those Eidim who show up and say that they're not subject to Hazama, why are they not subject to Hazama? Because how does Hazama work? Two witnesses come along and give testimony, then what happens? Another two witnesses come along and say, you could not have possibly witnessed the event that you claim you witnessed because you were with us in a different place at that same time. So at that same date and same time. So therefore, again, if witnesses show up and say, we know that Reuven killed Shimon, we just don't know what date, what place, and what time, we say, thank you very much. You know, take a drink, please, before you leave Beis Din and be on your way. But that's when we say that an Eidos Shiatu Achal Azimah is not an Eidos. And a Hachah, Siyud the Kamasayah. But I will say, in this case, remember, in this case, the Eitim are simply supporting what it is that Reuven himself said. Remember, Reuven himself already admitted the fact that he stole. This second set of witnesses, really the third set of witnesses that show up, are simply bolstering that claim. Amar Mar, Hein Mishalmin Tashlumi Kefal. So Mar said that, remember, they pay Kefal. Remember, the Eitim ultimately, again, pay kefal. If that's the case, again, since he already admitted that he is a ganav, he already has to pay keren, principal. If that's the case that he has to pay keren, then why do they have to pay a full kefal? Tani tashlum the kefal. They don't have to pay kefal, but rather they have to complete the kefal payment. In other words, that the ganav, through his own admission, will have to go ahead. The guy through his own admission will have to go ahead and pay keren, and essentially, again, the witnesses will have to pay the other payment necessary to complete the payment due into kefal, which essentially also means the value of the principal as well. Fine. Now we go weiter. So we'll say just, I'm sorry, before we go weiter. So just so you should know, remember, we spent a lot of time last night speaking about Rav and Rav Hamnuna's insight, or Rav Hamnuna's clarification of Shita, Rav's Shita. So we'll say, how do we go ahead and paskin halacha l'maisa? So the Rambam paskins, this is in Parashlisha, this is in Paragimel, of the halachos of Geneva va'aveda. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins the following. He says, I'm going to read this to you. Misha hoda b'knas. So again, Gimel, Ches, in Hilchos Geneva, in the Rambam. So Misha hoda b'knas va'achakach bo edim. If somebody admitted liability to a knas, and then afterwards witnesses came, im hoda b'tchila b'fnei beizdin u'be'beizdin. So we'll say, if the ganav admitted his liability, remember we saw these qualifications last night. If the ganav admitted his liability in Beizdin, right, in front of Bezdin and in Bezdin, you'll see why he uses that lashon. Then the ganav is potter. So we'll say we paskin like Rav, that halacha lemaisa moda b'knas potter, and even if witnesses subsequently come along and say that the ganav is going to be chayiv, once you moda b'knas, then what? As we said last night, case closed, there's nothing more to discuss. Aval. Im hode chutz la beizdin, o shehode b'fnei shnayim bilvad, v'achakach bo edim harizem mishalim k'nas apiyam. But if the admission took place outside of beizdin, then l'maisa, again, the admission does not have the full halachic impact, and therefore if witnesses were to subsequently come, they would make the ganav chayiv kefa. One more piece, says the Rambam. Keitzad, hode b'beizdin, v'achakach bo edim sheganav patu min hakefel, sharechiv atzal bekeren kodim shevao edim. Aval, im amar lo ganavti, shepater atzal min hakol. So we'll say, now the Rambam goes on, I'm not going to read it inside because of time, but the Rambam paskins like Rav Hamnuna's distinction. Namely, when do we say motiv b'knas patur, even if edim subsequently come? That's only when the initial admission was done by the ganav himself. Initial liability was established by the initial admission of the ganav. But if initial liability was established, how? Through Aden. And then the ganav admits something else. In that case, even Rav will agree that the subsequent testimony of the witnesses will make the ganav chayiv in every single knas. So I will say, so again, bottom line, halacha l'maisa, we paskin like Rav, and we paskin like Rav Hamnuna. And with that, ganav v'hekdish v'achakach talach u'machar, top of ayin vav amod aleph. So remember again, the Gemara is not taking the case of the Mishnah. The Reuven, we'll keep calling him Reuven. Reuven went ahead, Reuven stole and slaughtered. I'm sorry, ganav v'hekdish. He stole and he consecrated the animal, and afterwards he slaughtered it and he sold it. So the Mishnah paskin, he pays kefal, but he doesn't pay dalid v'hei. So says the Gemara, Amri bishlamat v'chalam echayiv, d'chi katavach v'hekdish katavach, v'lo d'mari katavach. So also I understand why he's not chayiv in arba v'chamisha. Why? Why is he not chayiv the 4 and 5 time penalty payment? Because remember, in order to be chayiv the 4 and 5 time penalty payment, you have to be slaughtering the animal that belongs to the owner. But in this case over here, because after the theft, he was makdish it, when he slaughters it and sells it, he's not slaughtering and selling the animal of the owner. Rather, he's slaughtering and selling the animal of who? Hekdish. And therefore, again, he's not going to be chayv arba v'chamisha. Elo, a hekdish l'chayv. But also, listen to what the Gemara says. This is amazing. But says the Gemara, the moment that the ganav is makdish the animal, he should be chayiv arba v'chamisha. Ay, what's the pshat? Listen to this. Mali machro lehegyot, mali machro leshamayim. Because Rabbi Osei, again, remember, if Reuven steals an animal and then he sells it, he's chayiv arba v'chamisha. Pasuk the Gemara, when you go ahead and you're makdish an animal, effectively, what are you doing? you're quote-unquote selling it to Hekdesh. Now, granted, it's not a normal sale, and that, again, is not a transfer of funds or of other types of consideration, but Lamaisa, you're transferring the animal from one rishus to another. So, again, at the moment that a person is Makdesh an animal, why is that not like a mechira, not like a sale? Or why isn't that like a sale? And therefore, again, it should be Chayv Arba V'Chamisha right then and there. So the Gemara says, Haman Hido Amar Kachim Shechayv Achriyuson Birshusei Dimarei Kaimi. To which the Gemara says, because our Mishnah is reflecting the view of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon holds that kodshim, sacrificial items that their owner is still responsible for, are considered to be in the reshus of the owner. Therefore, again, the Gemara is suggesting that when Reuven the Ganav steals the animal, even though he's makdish it, since the owner of that animal is still responsible for the animal is as if it is still in his reshus. Therefore what? Therefore the act of being makdish the animal is not the equivalent of a sale, and therefore he will not be chayiv dalid vehei. So the Gemara says, but one second, havi the sefer Rabbi Shimon, havi resha lav Rabbi Shimon. But one second, here's the problem, is that Rabbi Shimon is quoted explicitly in the Seif in the end of the Mishnah, and if Rabbi Shimon is at the end of the Mishnah, if Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion at the end of the Mishnah, then how can you say that the Reisha is Rabbi Shimon? Elohach, I'm asking, and what's the case? Bekachim Kalim Vali B'Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Our Mishnah Rabbi Yossi is reflecting the view of Kachim Kalim. Remember, again, we've spoken about this idea that there are different types of karbanos. There's Kachim Kadoshim, Kachim Kalim. So Kachim Kalim, Kishmo, Kinhain have a little bit of a lesser degree of sanctity. So the Mishnah, so when the Mishnah talks about being Makdishan, we're talking about Kachim Kalim. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, what's Rabbi Yossi Aglili say? The Amar, Kachim Kalim Mamon Bailimu, Ubirushuse Kaime. Because Rabbi Yossi Aglili is of the opinion that Kachim Kalim are considered to be the mamon, are considered to be the money of, or the property of their owners, Ubirshuse Kaime, and they are in his rishus. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Parakamon, Hilchach, Lav Mechirahi, Umihu Mirishus Mara Afkinu, Shem Hektish, Vichi Katavach, Lav demara katavach. So I will say, ultimately, again, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that although kachim kalim are mamon bailimu, nevertheless, it's mamon bailim, but at the end of the day, when the ganav steals it, Rashi says over here, afkinu sham shem hekdish, when you're making hekdish, it removes it from the rishus of the owner. Aval kotche kadoshim mai, but what would be the halacha by kotche kadoshim? Rabbi Yossi says, einachinami, meshalein tashlumi dalid vechamisha. So we'll say, so the Gemara says something amazing here. So the Gemara actually suggests that in this case over here, if you were to go ahead and steal an animal and then be makdish it, but you'd have to be makdish it like kodshei kadoshim, right? Higher sanctity animals, then what would be the halacha? The halacha would be, that would be the equivalent ultimately again of selling the animal, because you're totally removing it from the rishus of the owner. And what? You'd be chayiv dalid vehei for the act of being makdish it. Now we're not saying that's halacha l'maisa. The Gemara is just throwing out this possibility, which is quite amazing. If that's the case, says the Gemara, if that's the case, Aditani Resha Ganav Vitabach Vahaka Hikdish Mashaim Tashumi Dalit Vehei, if that's the case, then in the first case of the Mishnah, when the Mishnah wrote that he stole it, he slaughtered it, and he was Makdish it, he goes ahead and he pays Dalit Vehei. Liflog Velisne, so we'll say that was not this last Mishnah we just read, that was two Mishnahs ago. So why don't you go ahead, Liflog Velisne Bidide? Go ahead and subdivide that case itself. B'medrama murim, I will say, when is this true, that if you go ahead and steal it, slaughter it, and then you're makdish it, that you pay dalet vehei, when is that true? With kachim kalim, aval kachay kadoshim, mishalim tashlume arba v'chamisha. But I will say, for kachay kadoshim, even if you are makdish it, so I will say, the case that the Gemara just quoted was a case of where you slaughtered, you stole, slaughtered and sold, and then were makdish. Or I should say, no, excuse me, that doesn't make sense. You stole, slaughtered, were then makdish, and then, well, you can't sell it afterwards, but then you were then makdish. So in that case, Rabbi Yossi, because the slaughtering took place before the actual hekdish, therefore you're going to be chayiv dalet vehei. But says the Gemara, you could set up a case where even if you're makdish it after the theft, you'd also be chayiv dalet vehei. When would that happen? That would happen with kodshei kadoshim. If you were to go ahead and steal an animal, be makdish it like kodshei kadoshim, totally remove it from the rishus of the owners, then what would be the halacha? That would be the equivalent of a mechira, equivalent of a sale. You'd be chayiv arba v'chamisha. Elo, At the end of the day, we're not going to distinguish between what type of hekdish you are conferring upon this animal. Whether you're making this animal kachek kadashim or kachim kalim, it doesn't matter to us. So we'll say ayos, but remember the question the Gemara is operating over here, both, which is a fundamental question, which is why is it that if a person is makdish an animal, that should be the equivalent of mechira? That's the fundamental question the Gemara is asking. If I steal an animal and then I'm makdish it, what does it matter if I makdish it or if I sell it to Shimon? Effectively, the same thing is happening, which is what? Which is what? I'm removing the animal from the rishus of the owner and placing it in another domain. So why does that not automatically trigger a liability ultimately for Arba v'Chamisha? To which the Gemara said, I'm sorry?
Does that have anything to do with
Yeush? No, not getting to Yeush. This is just, right now, we're sidestepping Yeush. This is just about sale. So be makdish it. It's like he's selling it. So the Gemara says, Mali makhul shamayim l'hedyot. So it says the Gemara, I'll tell you the difference. Meikara, Tura de Ruvain, the Hasha Tura de Shimon. So both say, when you sell something, and at first it's going to sound like an interesting answer, when you sell something, so the Shar originally belonged to Ruvain, and now it belongs to Shimon. Because when you sell something, there's a transfer of ownership. Machra la Shamayim Rabbos, when you makdish something, so Me'ikara Tura de Ruvain, the Hashta Tura de Ruvain. When you makdish something, I will say what? Originally it was the Shar of Ruvain, and guess what? Even after you makdish it, then what? It's still the Shar of Ruvain. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Machro the hedge meikar to Ruvain. Kodim shemachro karu hashra shmo. So we'll say, when Ruvain owns something, so before, I know I'm using Ruvain interchangeably as the thief and as the owner, but we'll just go with the Gemara over here. When Ruvain owned the Shar, kodim shemachro, before the Shar was sold, karu hashra al shmo, karu hashar al shmo shalganov, umi shemachro karu al shem lokeach. Aval machro l'shamayim adayin shem hamakdisho alav shekaroi aloso shalploni. So we'll say, here's the interesting part. When you sell something, so obviously, again, the person who purchases it, he becomes the owner. When you're makdish something, and this, we'll say, once you think about this intuitively, makes sense. When you're makdish something, so as much as now, technically speaking, the Beis HaMikdash owns that animal, but yet, who is considered to, so to speak, still be the owner? We still say, the person who was makdish it is still going to be the owner. Again, I will say, even though on a technical, we'll call it on a technical, titular level, so that is not necessarily true. The title really is with the Beis HaMikdash, but I will say, at the end of the day, the ownership of the individual is still there. We'll say the perfect proof to that is if Reuven goes ahead and is right. First of all, responsibility, which again, now the reason the Gemara is not even getting into responsibility now is because that actually is karbonically specific. Because remember, there are certain karbonos where you are not responsible for them. For example, remember, this is the chilik between hare zu or hare alai. So if I go ahead and, for example, say that that animal is going to be a shlamim, that animal. So technically speaking, if something happens to that animal, again, without getting into all of the halachos over here, if that animal dies, technically, under certain circumstances, I'm not obligated to replace it. As if, so leaving aside replacement, the idea just is, if I go ahead and I say, yeah, that animal is an ola, so as much as technically speaking, that animal is hektish, but lamaisa, again, I am still considered in a very real way to be the owner of that animal, since again, it's my obligation to bring it up, it's my obligation to make sure that it's offered, and where it comes as a lie, as where it comes in satisfaction of a karbonic responsibility, it's satisfying my responsibility. Therefore, the Gemara suggests, therefore, when the ganav is makdish an animal, as much as I understand the havamim, that it should be like a sale, but since the original name, since the name of the person who was makdish it, still remains associated with the animal, therefore it does not resemble a sale, and therefore when the ganav is makdish an animal, it does not trigger an obligation for arba v'chamisha.
Responsible
to feed it, that is true, right? Upkeep of it, that is true. Rabbi Shimon Omer, so both remember again, weiter. Rabbi Shimon said, so remember, Rabbi Shimon said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kachim shechayavim b'achra yusim mishan tashuim dalet behei. So we'll say Rabbi Shimon, and we're going to explain this statement. He says, kachim, sacrificial or sanctified items, kachim animals, for which you are chayiv in achrayis. And we'll say, so achrayis sounds like you're responsible for these animals, could be replacement, or any other type of achrayis. If that's the case, shechayiv b'achra yusim mishan tashuim dalet behei. If a ganav steals that, then what? The ganav will be chayiv dalet behei. But if the owner did not have achrayas for the karban, then what? Then the ganav will not be chayv dalad veis. It says the Gemara, Amri, nehi disav Rabbi Shimon mali machro lehedyot mali machro leshamayim. Supposed to remember, Rabbi Shimon was just a major player in the previous Gemara. And Rabbi Shimon was the one who said, I don't understand, when you're makdish an animal, you should be chayv dalad vehei. Why? Because who cares if you sold it to another person, or who cares if you sold it to hekdish? If that's the case, ipchami boyle, then Rabbi Shimon should have said just the opposite of the Mishnah, kachim shechayv b'achar yusan, if lemaisa again, you have kachim, for which the owner is chayv in responsibility for them, then what? Putter. Then the ganav should be putter dalid vehewai, da'akati lo nafik mirshusei, because ultimately then I will say, if the owner is still going to be chayv in achrayis, then the animal effectively has not left the rishus of the owner. Also, I take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Therefore, it's not a proper mechira. Meaning, when the ganav sold it, it's not a proper mechira. And ultimately, again, the ganav will not be chayiv for shchita either. But it says the Gemara. But I will say, ultimately, again, if you have kachim for which the owner is not chayiv in achrayis, then lemaisa, again, in that case, the ganav should be chayiv for arba v'chamisha. Why? The mafkile mirshusei. So we'll say, again, the Gemara is just pointing out that intuitively, according to Rabbi Shimon, who just said that the consecration of an animal is the equivalent of a mechira, so really then Rabbi Shimon Shita should be exactly the opposite as espoused in the Mishnah. If the owner still has achrayis for the animal, that means the animal has not left his rishos. If the animal hasn't left his rishos, then what? Then the ganav hasn't really done an act that should trigger a liability of arba v'chamisha. If, on the other hand, the owner no longer has rishos, no longer has achrayis, that means the animal has effectively left his domain, which means what? The ganav has done a bona fide act of shchita and mechira, which then means that the ganav should be chayiv arba v'chamisha. Amri, Rabbi Shimon Amil Sachri Sakai. Rabbi Shimon is talking about a totally different case. Vachi Katani. Both saying this is what Rabbi Shimon is commenting on. This is fascinating. Ein Hagonev Achar Aganev. Listen to this case. Reuven steals a shor, and Shimon steals from Reuven. Now what happens? After Shimon steals from Reuven, what does he do? So Tavachu Machar, he slaughters it, then he sells it. So what's Talacha? Ein Hagonev Achar Aganev Meshlaim Tashlumin Dalet Vehei. So we'll say if one thief steals from another thief, and the second thief slaughters and sells the animal, the second thief is not chayiv dalad vehei. Okay? V'chein agonid hekdish mi beis bailim potter. Oh, listen to this. If you steal a hekdish animal from the house of its owner, so ultimately, again, the ganav will also be potter on dalad vehei. So the Gemara says, my taima. Now, what's the reason? Why are you not liable in these cases? So v'gonev mi beis ish. Because I will say, when the Torah frames the obligation ultimately again to pay kefal, or by extension to pay dalad vehei, Torah purposely phrases it how? That you steal an item from where? Mi beis ha'ish, from the home of the individual. V'lo mi beis hekdish. But I will say, not if the animal was already consecrated, in which case it has the appearance that what? I'm not really stealing from Reuven. Who am I stealing from? I'm stealing from Hekdish. Similarly, Rabbi, so therefore, on this case, Shabbosai, Rabbi Shimon Omer, no, it depends. Kachim shechay b'achar yusan chayiv. Shabbosai says, Rabbi Shimon, well, one second. It depends on what? It depends on what type of Hekdish you are stealing. If Rabbosai, you're stealing the type of, if I'm stealing the type of Hekdish from Reuven, that's what? When I steal the animal, then Reuven's going to what? Reuven has to pay, Reuven is chayiv for replacement. Right, and Reuven is chayiv for that animal. Then what? Then chayiv. My taima, karina and bay v'gunav mi beis ha'ish. Because Rabbosai, if Reuven has responsibility for the sacrificial animal, then what? Then it's his. If it's his, then that satisfies the criteria of the gunav mi beis ha'ish, that the object was stolen from the home of the owner. V'she'inu chayiv b'achar yusan. But if Reuven is not chayiv for any type of responsibility for the sacrificial animal, then what? Then potter. Then indeed he will be potter. Why? Delo karinon bay de gunav mi beis ha'ish. Because then again, it's not called that the object was stolen from the house of the individual. So now what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that the case that we thought Rabbi Shimon was commenting on is not the case he's actually commenting on. Rabbi Shimon is talking about a very specific case of someone who's going ahead and stealing from Reuven an animal that Lamaisi he was makdish. So the Braisa said that if you steal an animal that was hekdish, you are not chayiv for kefal for that. You're not chayiv any of the penalty payments. Why not? Because in order to be chayiv penalty payments, you have to satisfy the criteria of the gunav mi beis ha'ish, that you are stealing it from an individual. But when the animal is hekdish, you are not stealing it from an individual, you're stealing it from hekdish. Rabbi Shimon says it depends on the nature of the hekdish. If Reuven, the owner of the animal, is responsible for this animal, then the animal is called his, and I, the ganav, am chayiv. If on the other hand, Reuven is not responsible for the animal, then what? Then the maisa again, it's hekdish, and therefore it doesn't satisfy the criteria of the gunami beis ha'ish. Says the Gemara Michti. So let's analyze this. So we'll say, now we're going to get something really interesting. So one second, we learned the criteria of Rabbi Shimon. I remember we had this about 5 days ago. The Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion of Bosai that the only time you're chayiv dalad vehei, 4 and 5 time penalty payments, for stealing and slaughtering an animal is when it's what's called a shechita re'uya. If the animal will be fit for consumption as a result of the shechita. However, again, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that Rabbi says, if you shecht an animal, and that is what's called the shechita she'in re'uya, in other words, that the shechita does not render the animal fit for consumption, then the halacha is ultimately, again, that's not called the shechita. And guess what? If it's not called the shechita, then what? Then what? Then you're not chayiv dalad vehei. Then you will not be chayiv for the 4 and 5 time penalty payments. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, shchita kodshim nami shchita she'ina ru'uyahi. To which the Gemara says, well, 1 second, Rabbi Yosei. So remember, what did we just say? This is really fascinating. So what did we just say? We just got finished saying that there could be a case of where you steal a hektish animal and you'll be chayiv dalad vehei. What's the case of where you steal a hektish animal and chayiv dalad vehei? Where Reuven, the owner, has achrayis, chayiv achriyusa. He is responsible ultimately for the animal. If he's responsible, it means it's his. If it's his, then when I steal it, that's a bona fide act of theft. The guna of mi beis ha'ish, I'm stealing it from now as an individual. I'm chayiv dalad vehei. No, 1 second. In order to be chayiv dalad vehei, for tvicha mechira, for slaughtering and selling, it has to be what? It has to be a shechita re'uya, which also means that when you shech the animal, it's fit for consumption. But if I'm stealing a sacrificial animal, then what? It's a shechita she'in ru'uya. If somebody shechs that animal, could they eat that animal? Of course not. That has hektish sanctity. So how could Rabbi Shimon say that I'm chayiv dalad vehei? Oh, ki yaser abdini am Rabbi Yochanan b'shochet t'mimim b'fnim l'shem b'ilin. They both say, this is really a very interesting case. What's the case? I steal the animal from Reuven, right? No, apparently, knowing that it's a hektish animal, I take it to the Beis HaMikdash, b'karov, I'll take it to the Beis HaMikdash, and what? And I slaughter it there, for the sake of Reuven. in this case over here. So remember, I steal the animal, I go ahead and I take his animal to the Beis HaMikdash, and I slaughter the animal on his behalf in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara wants to suggest, we'll say that would be a case of what? Shechita Re'uya. Right, that would be a case of fit shechita. Why is it fit shechita? Because A, I'm sacrificing the animal in the Beis HaMikdash, and B, for the owner. Now granted, it is the maisa, again, still an act of theft, because I've stolen the animal. The Gemara wants to suggest, that's the case where you would be chayiv dalad vehei. Because there, I've stolen the animal. Remember, this has to be a case where Reuven's chayiv bachar yusan, but I'm slaughtering it inside the Beis HaMikdash for Reuven. So this is my 1 second. If that's the case, v'hari chazra keren lebailim. We'll say, if that's the case, that I stole the animal, hektish animal, and I took it to the Beis HaMikdash, and I slaughtered it on behalf of Reuven, then lemaisa, again, this is going to sound strange, but that effectively is tantamount to returning the stolen object. In other words, if I took, what literally means the keren has returned back to the owner. If I've taken that animal to the Beis HaMikdash, and I've slaughtered it on behalf of the owner, which was the intent of the owner to do the same, then lemaisa, again, sure, there's still an act of theft. I'm not minimizing that. But lemaisa, with the Losh of the Gemara, is chazra keren lebalabayis. Look at Rashi. Chazra keren lebalabayis. Horio ulushem bailin nizvachu. If that's the case, I'll both say to a certain degree, the keren has been returned. The animal has been returned because the ultimate objective of the animal or of the sacrifice has been fulfilled. So if that's the case, says the Gemara, why would there be any liability for Arba the Chamisha? To which the Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Yitzchak Paravin Shilishpach Adam." Oh, both say the case we're dealing with over here is I stole the hekdesh animal, I stole the carbonic animal, I brought it to the Beis Hamikdash, I even slaughtered it for the intention of the owner. But what happened? The blood spilled before it was sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Look at Rashi. Shinishpach Adam. So Rashi says over here, V'mihu b'shash shchita ru'uyehi. So both say, remember, if the blood was sprinkled, then what? Remember, it's the Zrikas Adam that allows for a carbon to be effective. The Zrika is the most important part of the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. So both say, the way the Gemara is setting up the case over here is like this. I steal an animal from Reuven, it's a carbonic animal. I bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, I slaughter it in the Beis HaMikdash. So at that point, when I do that, that is a Shechita Re'uya. But then what happens? What happens is the blood spills before it has a chance to be sprinkled. In which case what? Reuven's carbonic obligation has not been fulfilled. So because Reuven's carbonic obligation has not been fulfilled, therefore what it turns out, that this act was a bona fide act of theft. Therefore, I will be chayiv arba v'chamisha. But the good news is what? It's a shechita ru'uya. Why is it a shechita ru'uya? Because at the time that the shechita of the animal was performed, it was technically a shechita that would have rendered the animal fit for use. Happens to be something happened later on that precluded that possibility, namely the blood spilled, but at the time of the shechita was good, and as long as at the time of the shechita was good, then what? Then that would trigger an obligation for arba v'chamisha for 4 and 5 time penalty payments. He becomes known after. The Ganav is a righteous guy. He doesn't want the owner to think that, Kali Yisrael's righteous Ganav.
Because if he doesn't, then he has to go buy another.
Correct. So at some point in time, in order for any of these cases to work, the information has to become known. Because otherwise, there's no way to even prosecute these cases.
Who is the
Arba Chamisha
go to at this point?
So we'll see, assuming that we're talking about a case where the owner has achrayis for the carbonic animal, the Arba Chamisha will go to the owner.
Even though it's
a consecrated animal, correct. Says the Gemara, Ki Asa Rabbi Amrabi Yochanan. So we'll say, the Gemara is going, now understand what we're just trying to do over here. We're dealing with a very specific case. And the specific case is, I've stolen an animal that was hekdish. Rav Shimon wants to suggest that Lemaisa, again, as long as it's a case where the owner has responsibility for the carbonic animal, then that satisfies the criteria of the Gunav Mi Beis Ha'ish. Rav will say, that's our criteria. That's our threshold. In order to be chai for an act of gneva, it has to be called that you're stealing it from someone's house. We automatically assume that an animal is hektish, so it no longer satisfies that criteria because it doesn't belong to the owner. Tzitz Rabbi Shimon says it depends. If it's the type of hektish for which the owner is responsible, then when the thief steals it, that's called the gunav mi beis ha'ish. So the Gemara said, fine. So if the owner is responsible for achrayis, it's called like you're stealing from the owner. But it's a shechita she'ina re'uya, because when you shech that carbonic animal, it's not fit for consumption. So the Gemara is trying to come up with cases where it's a shechita re'uya. Because if it's a shechita re'uya, then we can prove the thief's liability for arba v'chamisha. So Amar ki asa rabin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say another example. What's the case? The case where I stole the carbonic animal. I shecht it inside the Beis HaMikdash, but what? But I didn't shecht it with the intention, I didn't shecht it on behalf of the owner. Right, of the owner of the carbon. Look at Rashi before you turn the page. So we'll say, in that case, when I shecht it inside the Beis HaMikdash, even though I'm shechting it again, not for the sake of the owners, lemais, again, it's still called a good shechita. Why? Because we paskin that carbonals that were offered up not for the sake of their intended owners are still ksherim. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi, in this case over here, the shechita is kasher, but we don't say chazra keren lebailim. We don't say that the principal is returned to the owner. Why not? Because it was not shechted on behalf of the owners. Amr deis. But a shlokish amr. See, not bad. You got nervous. I know. I saw the looks on your faces. 6:35. We haven't turned the page yet. Don't worry. So says the Gemara. But Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, "B'shochet ba'ali mumin b'chutz." Now, we'll say, yes. He brought fish already. So tomorrow's a medava. So we're good. We're good. So Reish Lakish says, "B'shochet ba'ali mumin b'chutz." So we'll say. So what happens? Reish Lakish says, "What's the case?" The case of, also, remember, so just keep very clear. We're just trying to figure out a case of where I'm stealing a carbonic animal for which the owner has responsibility, and I need to frame a case of where it's going to be called a shechita kshera, or a shechita re'uya. To which Reish Lakish says, what's the case? B'shochet ba'ali mumin b'chutz. So the Gemara Reish Lakish says, it's a case of, I'll say, of where what? Of where the sacrificial animal was blemished. And Reish Lakish says, a sacrificial animal that's blemished can be shechted outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That would be a case, ultimately, again, of a shechita re'uya, because, yeah, the animal is being shechted in a way that, technically speaking, renders it fit, and therefore the ganav will be chayiv, ultimately, again, for dalet vehe. So we'll say, what we have now established is the following, that we have three different variations of how it is in a case where the ganav is stealing a sacrificial animal for which the owner has achrayis, that it could still be called a shechita re'uya, a proper shechita, and therefore, again, the ganav will be chayiv dalet vehe. Fine. So says the Gemara, Toi by Rebbe Lozer the Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, Rebbe Lozer was very puzzled, and he raised the following kasha to Rabbi Yochanan. Shechita materes. So Toi by Rebbe Lozer the Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, Rebbe Lozer is going to raise a series of questions. His first question, ultimately, again, is to Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, remember, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who wanted to set up the case as a case of B'shochet Tamimim Bifnim L'shem Bailin. He wanted to set up the case of where. What's the case of a shechita ruya? What's the case of Osai where the ganav steals the sacrificial animal? Yet the shechita is still going to be a good shechita, so that the ganav will be chayiv dalet vei. So Rabbi Yochanan posited, what's the case? I steal the animal, I bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, I shecht it inside the Beis HaMikdash for the intended purpose of the owner. So says the Gemara, says Rabbi Elazar, I don't understand. Shechita materes? Are you saying then that it's the shechita that ultimately, again, Rabbi Yochanan makes the sacrificial animal permitted? That's not true. V'alo zrika materes. Ultimately, again, it's the sprinkling of the blood. See, Rabbi Yochanan, the way Rabbi Yochanan set it up is he wanted to say that in this case where I steal the animal from Reuven, sacrificial animal, and I bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and I shecht it on Reuven's behalf in the Beis HaMikdash, that's called the shechita re'uya, because I'm doing it on his behalf. Says the Gemara, that's not a shechita re'uya. You know when that shechita becomes re'uya? You know when that shechita becomes proper? When? When? When the blood is sprinkled. And remember, how did Rabbi Yochanan set up the case? What happened? The blood spilled. I'm sorry? No, Rabbi Yochanan's case was L'shem Bailim. Rabbi Yochanan, B'shoch Itimim Bifnim, L'shem Bailim. Fourth line up from the bottom. So says the Gemara, so I don't understand, Rabbi Yochanan, you're making it sound like Shechita is Materes, but that's not true. It's not the Shechita, ultimately, again, that is the Mati. Rather, what is it? It's the Zrika. If that's the case, Rabbi Yochanan, that you're correct, that what? The Shechita happened, but then the blood spilled before it had a chance to be sprinkled on his Mizbech, then guess what? That's not a proper Shechita. And if it's not a proper Shechita, then what's Rabbi Yochanan? Then the Ganav is not going to be Chayiv Dalet Vehei. Next. Reish Lakish, Rabbi Elazar just bring up a whole bunch of shailas. According to Reish Lakish, right? Reish Lakish, the Gemara says, Reish Lakish. Okay, we're skipping right now. I'm sorry, we'll say there are two different versions of Rabbi Yochanan. There's Rav Dimi Am Rabbi Yochanan, and there's Ravin Mim Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, remember, again, we're going to discuss in the Gemara which version of Rabbi Yochanan ultimately, again, Rabbi Elazar is first coming to attack over here. So says the Gemara the following. Says the Gemara. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it says Shechita's Materes. It's not true. Zrika's Materes. According to Reish Lakish, Shechita Materes, Valo Pedia Materes. Well, so according to Reish Lakish, who said that what's the case? B'shochet Bali Mumin B'chutz. He wanted to set up the case of Shechita Ru'uya as one who's shechting Bali Mumin outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ma'aseh again, is that true that the Shechita's Matir? We'll say, if you have an animal that's a Bal Mum, but say, how do you deal with that animal? Sacrificial animal, that's a balmum. How do you deal with it? You go ahead and you redeem it. Right? You redeem that animal, you take that money and use it for sacrificial purposes. Reish Lakish means it's not like, how do you deal with an animal with a balmum? You shecht it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So what's going on over here? So ishtamite ha de Rabbi Shimon. So both say, Rabbi Lazar went ahead and forgot the statement of Rabbi Shimon. What did Rabbi Shimon say? Both say, well, this is actually quite interesting. Rabbi Shimon holds, kala omeid lizrok kizarot dami. Well, say Rabbi Shimon holds, this is very interesting, that any blood that is ready to be sprinkled is as if it has already been sprinkled. Mm-hmm. And any animal that is fit to be redeemed is as if it's already been redeemed. Suppose that we have this concept, by the way, the first time we see this idea, the first time we see the idea, we'll say is where? Is by Karban Mincha. The Gemara discusses the idea of Kol HaRoi LeBila, Ein bila ma'akeves. The halacha is that a carbon mincha is supposed to be mixed. But the halacha is, if you don't mix it, the karma mincha is still okay, as long as what? As long as it could have been mixed. The Rebbe said, what does it mean it could have been mixed? In other words, that there's not so much of it in the kli sharis that it would overflow its sides if it were to be mixed. There's a concept in halacha like this that we see in other places, that when something is fit for a certain process, it's as if the process itself has already occurred. So now, remember, the Gemara is suggesting, Rebbe Lozer, you're raising these kashos, but at the end of the day, you forgot about the statement of Rebbe Shimon. What does Rebbe Shimon say? That any blood that is fit to be sprinkled is as if it has already been sprinkled. And any animal that could be redeemed is as if it has already been redeemed. So where do we see this? So we'll say, where do we see that anything that is fit to be sprinkled is as if it's already sprinkled? This sanya, Rabbi Shimon says, Yesh nosar shum tame tumas ochlin, Yesh nosar she'enu tame tumas ochlin. I'll both say, remember, nosar refers to any type of carbon that has been left outside of its permitted window. Remember, every single carbon has a window for permitted consumption. Nosar means it's been left over past its permitted window. So says the Gemara, says Rabbi Shimon, there is nosar that is subject to Tumas Ochlin, and nosar that is not subject to Tumas Ochlin. I will say, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Yesh nosar shemetame. The Rabbi Shimon is suri hanoa in metamin Tumas Ochlin. I will say, according to Rabbi Shimon, we will see, anything that is asr ba'anol is not subject to Tumas Ochlin. Why? Didarish mikala ochel asher ye'achel. Because the Mosheh Tumas Ochlin, the Torah says, from any food that you will eat. So the Gemara says, ochel sha'ata yachol la'achil la'achirim olunachri ol Yisrael kari ochel. Anything that is fit for consumption, the Mosheh says, called food. However, beperakam de b'choros, im ha'isa l'shas heter ha'na mishin ishchiter. So Mosheh, listen to this. The halacha is the following. Rav Shimon says, only food that at some point in time was fit for consumption is subject to the laws of Tumas Ochlin. But if you have food that was never fit for consumption, then the Maisa, again, it is not subject to Tumas Ochlin. So therefore, again, Rabbi Shimon says, there is no sar that is subject to Tumas Ochlin, and there's no sar that's not subject to Tumas Ochlin. Well, so that's just the two more lines. Ketzad, so what's the case? Lon lifnei zrika. So we'll say, listen to this. If ultimately the carbon sat overnight before the blood was sprinkled, so listen to this. If you have a carbon that you offered, but you did not do zrika, and then let's say it sat overnight. The Rebbe says sat overnight means it's now outside of its window of permitted consumption. The Rebbe says therefore what? If it sat overnight before the blood was sprinkled, that means what? It never had a window of permitted consumption. It was never permitted by achila. If it was never permitted by achila, then what? So we'll say, if that's the case, that ultimately it became nosar before the blood was sprinkled, therefore it was never permitted for consumption. If that's the case, then lemaisa is not subject to Tumas Ochlin. On the other hand, la'achar zrika, but we'll say, if let's say you did sprinkle the blood of the carbon, and then afterwards you allowed the carbon to sit overnight, then what we'll say? Metame Tumas Ochlin. Then in fact the carbon is subject to Tumas Ochlin. Why? Why? Because remember, once there was zrika, the carbon is fit for consumption. Once it's fit for consumption, it's subject to Tumas Ochlin. The Kaimalon, Mylif Nezrika, and I will say, we say, what does it mean that the animal sat before Zrika? Kodem Shenira Lezrika. We'll say that means that the carbon was shechted in a way that ultimately it sat overnight before it was ever fit for Zrika. La'achar Zrika. What does it mean after Zrika? La'achar Shenira Lezrika. Ultimately, that means after it was fit for Zrika. So we'll say, what does that mean? Kodem Shnir L'Zrika Mahi. What's the case of where the animal, of where the carbon, was before it was fit for Zrika? The Lohavia Shahus Bayom L'Mizriki. But we're talking about a case where what? Where the Maisa, again, if there was never an opportunity for Zrika. How so? The Shachte Samoch L'Shkia Sachamo. Ultimately, I will say, where you shechted it right next to Shkia, right before sunset, the Eino Metame Tumas Ochlin. And therefore, in that case, it's not Metame Tumas Ochlin. La'achar Shinir L'Zrika L'Lon, to have you show Slim L'Mizrike. But I will say, if ultimately, again, after you shechted the animal, it did have an opportunity to have the Zrika, right? I will say, in that case, again, Metame Tumas Ochlin. It is Metame Tumas Ochlin. What do you see from here? So what's coming out from here? What the Gemara seems to be saying is like this. If you shechted a carbon in a way that there was time after the shechita to sprinkle the blood, even if what? even if you didn't actually do it, the carbon will be subject to tumas ochlin. But if you shechted the animal in a way, the shechted carbon, that it was not, that it was, there was no possibility for the sprinkling of the blood. How can you shecht the carbon in a way where there's no possibility for sprinkling of the blood? How? You do it right before sunset, because you're supposed to remember, we don't do any zvika after shkia, then in that case, it's not subject to tumas ochlin. So in other words, what we see is, as long as at some point in time the carbon was fit for zvika, ultimately that makes it subject to tumas ochlin. If it was never fit for zvika, then it's not subject to tumas ochlin. What do you see from here? Alma, kala omed lizrok. What do we see from here? We see from here that lemaisa, again, as long as a carbon was fit for zrika, in certain respects, it's as if what? It's as if the zrika itself occurred. Right? We'll stop over here. We'll pick up again with this machlokes tomorrow.